side.
On the other side. And I'm gonna
shake that hands with the elder.
Lord, and tell my tender good morning. Then I'm gonna
sit down beside of my Jesus.
Lord, I'm gonna
sit down, rest a little while.
We'll soon be done.
We'll soon be done with troubles and trials.
Troubles and trials in that hole.
Facing that home on the other side.
On the other side. And I'm gonna
shake that hands with the elder.
Lord, and tell my tender good morning. Then I'm gonna
sit down beside of my Jesus. Rest a little while. Oh, kindred and friends, now wait for me. Soon their faces I shall see.
We'll soon be done.
We'll soon be done.
To still stand out here that sings in the choir, y'all come on up. We still waiting. Hurry. If you're not in the college, sit down just a minute. If you're not singing and you're not with the college group, sit down just a second. We want to recognize all these that have come back home, Brother Ryan. We got some new ones, so let's just give them a good hand. Glad to have y'all back. Just makes us excited to see these new faces and we'll sing some of the same songs that y'all sung with us back then. And we had some that stayed over, and we appreciate Sister Valerie and Brother Peyton, the guys that was with us. So let's stand back up and let's sing this song.
Bye. A new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Ah, we magnify you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you. Glory, 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 glory. Ah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Ah, if you're saved and you know it this morning, let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Ah, clap your hands, oh, you people. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God.
I'm so glad Jesus is with me. Well, when I was a sinner,
yeah, Jesus lived in me.
Turn around, shake a neighbor's hand if you would. Tell him it's good to see him in the house of the Lord. Caught you talking. Praise the Lord. If you're glad to be in the house of the Lord today, say amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate God's mercy to us. Appreciate the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of God. What a wonderful day it is to be in God's house. Amen. And as Brother Mark said, we welcome back all of the Heritage students that are returning and also all of the families and freshmen that are here. And if you're a freshman and your family is here, would you, or returning and your family's here, how about all the Heritage parents stand, if you would, students as well, freshmen, real quickly, would you do it, please? Amen. Let's let them know we're glad to have them in the house of the Lord today. Praise God. Amen. Looking forward to a wonderful year, and just appreciate God's mercy, and appreciate all the work that's been done. All of you that have been working around here the last few weeks to get things ready for this day. God bless each and every one of you. Amen. A lot of things have been done, enhancements over the summer, things behind the scenes. So I appreciate that. So very, very much. Some of the students probably already know about some of them, but tomorrow they'll see even more. And a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice from the church here. So God bless each and every one of you. Amen. Also want to welcome in this morning Olivia and Liam and Pate. The Lord has blessed Brother Brian and Sister Leah with three more children this week. So they're sitting right here on the second row. So we thank the Lord for that. Lord. So Mason went from only child to sharing the house. So his world got rocked this week. So he's still figuring it out. But we're glad to have them in the house of the Lord as well. And Olivia's 10 years old and was in Sunday school. And I met her before Sunday school today. And she's honest with me. I appreciate that. Not everybody's honest with me. I said, how'd you like Sunday school? She said, So I'm not even going to give her a chance after the preaching today. It might be that. So, amen. Glad to have her in God's house. Amen. Want to lift up Brother Randy and Sister Cindy Morris in prayer, their family. Her sister's funeral, Judy, is today. And appreciate those of you that traveled over there last night and back today. The funeral's there in Moultrie. And so we want to lift up Sister Cindy and their sons and everyone in prayer. And God is a God of comfort. We know that. God is a God of strength in times of such as this, and many of you have walked in their shoes, and I appreciate you reaching out to them and helping them and just praying for them. And they wanted me to express to you they appreciate your love and just having a church body. Amen. Having a church family is always wonderful. Just wonderful today to be in the house of the Lord and feel the presence of God. But certainly in times of sorrow and times of loss, it's great to have a church family, brothers and sisters, that will rally around you and lift you up in prayer when you feel discouraged or maybe sorrow in your own heart and you can't seem to get a prayer through. It's wonderful to have the church come alongside you and begin to pick you up and pray for you. So I want to continue to do that if you would. Amen. Deacons, help me this morning. Let's worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. God bless you for being faithful to the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one today. And God bless you for your giving, your faithfulness throughout the summer, and all that God has called us to do. We certainly glad to have each and every one with us in God's house today. Brother Johnny Sykes, lead us to the Lord in prayer, please.
Praise the Lord. Students, make sure tonight, all the Heritage students, you've got a good testimony for us. We're going to hear from all of our students tonight, all right? So look forward to that. Stand with me as we get into the Word of the Lord today. Romans chapter number 4, starting at verse number 17 and reading down to the end of the chapter. I want to talk to you about faith today, the life of Abraham and faith. And as we go down through this passage of Scripture, I want to talk to you about four attributes of faith. Four attributes of faith in the life of Abraham, and not just his life, but as we use him as a pattern, apply it to our own lives and have faith, laying hold of the promises of God. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 17. Amen. If you haven't, say amen. Amen. Where the Lord says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Let me talk to you about four attributes of faith. I don't know if anybody has sit around and planned your 100th birthday party, but if you have, let me see you lift your hand. Anybody? You've got your 100th birthday party planned? How many plan to be 100 someday? Just wondering. All the young folks have their hands up. The older folks like, it ain't worth it. My grandpa always talked about growing older, maybe it's not all they crack it up to be, but Brother Rich said it's certainly not for sissies. There's certainly some aches and pains that come along. But a 100th birthday party. If you had planned your 100th birthday party, there's probably one aspect of it I probably would guarantee that you have not included, and that is a brand new baby boy. But if you think about Abraham's life on his 100th birthday, God gives Abraham and Sarah a brand new baby boy. But the thing about it is, for nearly 25 years, they have waited on this promised blessing. I want you to think about that for a second, because we hear a lot about faith. We hear a lot about faith in the world in which we live. Some people are even hyper-faith. Claim it, believe it, grab it. But think about it for a second. Just let your mind go there, because we live in such a fast-paced society and such a hurry-up-and-get-it-done society. The father of the faithful, Abraham, the father of the faithful, that we say if there's anybody in Scripture who had faith in his life, it's Abraham. Listen to me. He waited over 2 decades for the promise of God to be fulfilled in his life. So if it doesn't happen in 6 months in your world, or 2 years in your world, or 5 years in your world, you don't have to feel like you have to throw in the towel and quit or give up on the promises of God. As I've studied this fourth chapter of Romans over the last few weeks, it's just, it's captivated me. It's just mesmerized me and drawn me in as Abraham was faithful in waiting on the promises of God. And I want to show you the four things. They're found in verses 18, 19, 20, and 21. It's real easy to follow along this morning. The first step, the first attribute that Abraham had in believing in God is found in verse number 18, when the Bible said he simply, who against hope, believed in hope. The first aspect of faith is this, it's hope, the attribute of hope. It's the belief that the situation that you have might be altered by divine intervention. It's hope. Just having hope that God can move in your situation. It's a sad thing to lose hope. It's a sad thing to lose hope in a situation where you need God to perform a miracle.
One writer said that losing hope would be like stop breathing for the human heart. To stop breathing, to lose hope in your spirit would be the equivalent of not being able to breathe. I'm glad I have hope today in God. I have hope that all things are possible, amen, to him that believeth. Matter of fact, the scripture says that concerning Christ, it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. So I want you to look at that situation that you need a miracle in your life today and believe and understand that the foundational principle is this. We have to have hope. We have to have hope knowing that God is able. That God is able. The scripture that we preached from last Sunday night. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. That we are able to ask or think according to the power. According to that hope. According to that richness of our spirit that works within us. I'm glad today that I've come to the house of the Lord with hope in my heart. Knowing that I'm serving a God that has all power in heaven and in earth. I'm glad I didn't come today to worship a God that I'm saying that I think God can do about 75% of the things that I think that I know. That God's able to do about half of the things that I can think of. I'm glad that when I come into the house of the Lord, I'm able in my heart that is filled with hope to lift up my hands and to lift up my heart to God and know that hope is alive in my life. That at any time that God is able to move in that situation, it's an anchor really. Paul said to the Hebrews in chapter number 6 and verse number 19, that hope, it's an anchor. It is an anchor of the soul, that it is sure and it is steadfast, that it will not let you just to be just tossed to and fro in your faith and in the storms of life. But when you've got hope in your life and you've got hope in your spirit, you've got hope when you go in prayer, you understand that it is an anchor, that I know God is able. I know God is able. I know God's greater than any cancer. I know God's able to save to the uttermost. I know that God is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. Is that hope alive in your heart? The world wants that hope to die. But I pray this morning that hope springs alive in your heart. I pray that hope springs alive in your worship. I pray that hope springs alive as you magnify God and say, God, my eyes are on you. My heart is fixed on you, and with you, God, I know all things are possible. Amen. Matter of fact, I began to list this week some of those that God has brought back to him. The backsliders that have prayed recently. I just got hope in my heart watching, knowing that if God saved one backslider, that God's able to save another backslider. And if God's able to watch one father pray back through, then there's other fathers that can pray back through. And I just walked down in prayer this weekend thanking God. Thanking God for Brother Cody. Thanking God for Brother Marty. Thanking God for Brother Shane. And thanking God for Sister Angela. And thanking God for saving Linda. And I'm saying, God, you are not dead. Amen. I know what many people say, but you're not a dead God. You're not a little God. You're not a defeated God. But you're a God of all power in heaven and in earth. That's hope this morning. Amen. Hope to heal cancer. Hope to heal leukemia. Hope to put a marriage back together again. Amen. We've got to have that in our lives, friend. Amen. He believed against hope, the attribute of hope. But notice verse number 19. Number 2, the Bible said that he was not weak in faith, but he considered not. He considered not his own body. He considered not the circumstances. So the second attribute of faith is this. I think it's focus. It's a matter of what we want to focus upon. And so notice this. The Bible said, really, and that's probably why God waited so long, right, to give him the promised seed. Because there was no way it was possible. There was no way it was humanly possible for Abraham and Sarah to have a child at 199 years old, respectively, except it be a miracle of God. And isn't that what faith brings into our life? It brings the miracles of God. And so the Bible said that he considered not. He considered not. He did not pay attention to what might not bring about the miracle. Amen. Oh, help me preach this morning. Amen. Too many times we start in our prayers when hope springs up in our lives and we start believing God, and then we start, but wait a minute, God. Amen. We almost come to ourselves and we start putting limitations patience on God and saying, God, I know you want to give me a promised seed, but wait a minute, God. I'm about 100 years old, and Sarah's 99 years old, and we start listing all the reasons why that it might not come to pass, and we remind God of all the limitations and all of the obstacles and all of the circumstantial things that would prohibit a miracle. But if you want faith in your life this morning, he considered not. He did not focus on that, but he turned his attention to God and said, God, I know what you said. I know what you said. I know what you said. And if you said it, it shall come to pass. Amen. I tried to come this morning on assignment to encourage somebody. Why don't you quit looking at why it might not happen? Why don't you quit listing the reasons why you might not have that promised seed, and throw your hands and your heart to God and say, God is able, that God is able, that God is almighty, that God is all powerful, that God created everything. Let me come walk with me this morning. If God made everything out of nothing, for there was nothing for God to make anything out of, and if God made everything out of nothing and it hung it on nothing, for there was nothing for God to make it out of or to hang it on, and he kept everything by the word of his power, if God's done all of that since Genesis 1 and 1, cannot God heal cancer? Cannot God save your child? Cannot God give you a better job? Come with me this morning. Now unto him that is able, amen, consider not. The only other time that's used in the Bible is Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 52. The Bible is, the picture is the raging sea. And at the end of that story in Mark chapter number 6, after Jesus has said, peace be still. Notice this, in 6 and 52 it said, for they considered not. They considered not the miracle of the loaves and fishes. What was the writer telling us? It was this. Right before the miracle of the stormy sea, Christ had multiplied the loaves and the fishes. He had performed a miracle to show them his power. He wanted them to understand, see my power, understand my power. But when they got in the storm, when they got in the darkness, when they got in the raging sea, they forgot about the power of God. Preach, Pastor, I think I will. Amen. They forgot about where God brought them from and how good and powerful God is. Let me remind us, it's probably not just the disciples that forget when we get in a storm, when we get in a storm of fear, or when we get in a storm of doubt, or we get in a storm of confusion. How many of us could lift a hand and say, we forget about all the other miracles. We forget about all that God has done. We forget about the power of God. We forget, wait a minute, 5 years ago God gave me a job. Wait a minute, 3 years ago God healed this. And we consider not. I want somebody to run back in your mind and grab some things God has done in the past. Has God not been good? Has God not been powerful? Has God not been faithful? Why don't somebody lift a hand this morning and say, God, I just magnify your name. I give you glory this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. He was not weak in faith. Same word as John 5 and 3, the impotent man at the pool. He was impotent. He was weak. Weak in faith. I don't want a weak faith. I don't want to consider the reasons why it might not happen. I want to look to the power of God and say, with God, all things. Somebody say, all things. All things. All things. All things are possible. With God, hallelujah. This week we just mailed out the flyers for the ministers' conference in January. And it's hard to believe, but this is the 17th. Ministers' Conference. And as I was thinking about these scriptures, I thought about the events that led up to the Ministers' Conference. Brother Cain and Sister Stephanie are here. And I remember that God put it in my heart, Brother Stacy, to have a Ministers' Conference. I knew I heard from the Lord. I knew it was in my heart. And I knew I'd prayed through, and it was God's will. And so I went and I talked to an older preacher who I thought that He needed to do it because I thought he'd have the influence to get everybody to be able to come. And so I went and talked to him, and he said, well, it's been tried, and it's unsuccessful, and it just won't work. And so I started studying past minister conferences in our movement, maybe what their mission was, what the aim was, why it hadn't been successful, trying to figure out why did it fall apart. So I come back to God in prayer, and I start listing those things. Well, God, so-and-so, he said this, and so-and-so said this. So I'm praying about all that, but then my heart comes back, and it's like, but this is what I said. This is what I said. This is what I want. So I went and talked to another preacher who had the facilities I thought that we needed to launch the conference. So I went and talked to him, and he said, well, it's a great idea. I want to be part of it, but it's just not going to work here. I didn't realize it, but he was on his way out where he was at. He had one foot out the door. So I come back to God, and I said, God, I thought we needed those facilities. So, God, show me. Show me if this is your will. I remember Brother Ingram preaching one day at our camp meeting. I'd only been here 3 years. Brother Ingram had only been at Strawberry Plains 3 or 4 years. He's up preaching. And as he's preaching, in my mind, I saw it come together. I saw the time of the year. I saw January. I saw his church. I saw the location. I thought, Lord, if he can get on board with it, this just might work. We went to the office after church. I said, here's my passion. Here's my desire. Here's what so-and-so says. But here's what I feel. Here's what I say. What he said, let's do it. Let's do it. Amen. The first year, I don't know, 75, out of the first few years, we packed out his little church. They remodeled. We grew. Then we got to Smoky Shadows Conference Center. Now we are where we've been for the last 5 or 6 years. And last year, I don't know, between 12 and 1,300 in that meeting last year, and watching the ministers shout and dance and their wives just rejoice. I go back and I thought, Lord, if I would have let so-and-so talk me out of that, amen, look at all the blessings we would have missed. I'm telling you, somebody, amen, you can't always look at, consider not why. Amen, notice the rest of this verse. The Bible said that he was not considering his own deadness. But in verse number 20, the third thing is he staggered not. He did not vacillate back and forth. Amen. It is that attribute of continuance. It is that attribute of perseverance. I know what God said. And he did not stagger at the promises of God. He did not hesitate. But he laid hold of the promise of God and said, God, I may not understand exactly how it's all going to come to pass. But I know that I know that I know that I know. I said, does anybody know the word of the Lord this morning? I said, you know that you know that you know. If God said it, I said, if God said it, if God said it, I said, God is able. Amen. Somebody shout this morning that God is able. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Notice verse number 20. You want continuance, you want perseverance, here's how to do it. Giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. Become a worshiper. Become one that magnifies God. Notice this, the way to overcome belief. Here you go, write it down. The way to overcome belief is right here. Worship your way through it. Magnify your way through it. Because what does praise do? Praise gets my mind off of my limitations, my circumstances, and praise gets my mind on God and the ability and the power of an almighty God. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. The other day, sitting out in that field, or standing rather, talking to an engineer. How do you explain to an engineer the will of God, the mind of God, the heart of God? And by faith. Well, here's what we feel like God is probably doing. But standing out in that field and showing him the area where we want girls. I know you're crowded in that dorm, but that's a good thing. Hold on with me for a year. You might all get your own room next year if God has his will in our lives. That 21-bedroom girls' dorm out there.
But notice verse number 17. God is able to call things as though they are, even though they're not. Wrap your mind around that. That God can say it's done, even though it's not completed in our life yet. The way to explain that, I thought about it this week, is probably this way. When you and I look at a photo album, if we looked at the 2017 photo album, we would have to go page by page by page by page. Me and you have to turn the page to see the rest of the story. We don't know how it's going to end yet. Not so with God. He saw the end from the beginning. Woo. I said he already knows the end from the beginning. God doesn't need to turn the page and say, "Woo, that surprised me. Woo, didn't see that coming." No, God already knows the end. Me and you don't. I said we don't. But by faith, I lay hold of the promise of God. By faith, I said God's calling it done. God looks to the end of the story and God puts a period right there and said, "It shall be. It will be. It shall be done." I say, "God, give me that kind of faith. My God, give me that kind of faith to lay hold of the promise of God." Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So sometimes when you see my Yukon out in that field, I'm not on the phone. I'm worshiping. I'm trying to grow my faith. I'm trying to get past all the reasons why it might not. And I'm trying to lay hold on the promise of God. God, you didn't give us this land for nothing. God, you didn't give us a college for nothing. God, you birthed it. It's yours. And by steps, by faith, one after one. Anybody this morning glad for the promise of God? Why don't you lift your hands and magnify the name of the Lord? Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we can do better now. Come on, let's magnify the Lord right now. Oh, let faith come alive. Let faith come alive. Let faith come alive. Stand with me. Look at verse number 21. And being fully persuaded. Let me give you the fourth attribute. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. That what he promised, he's able to perform. What he said is what he'll do. Oh, I'm glad God doesn't shortchange us. I said, I'm glad God doesn't shortchange us. Anybody on this side had somebody promise you something sometime and it come up a little short? Anybody on this side ever had somebody said, I've had people tell me, here's what I'm going to do for the church. Here's what I've had people talk about, going to be this and going to do all. You can't find them on Sunday night. You can't find them on Wednesday night. You can't. I thought, what about that big, 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 big testimony you gave? Oh, but God, not so. What he said is what he will perform. Because by faith, Abraham believed God. Notice this, it was not through the law that Abraham was made righteous. It was through his faith. It was through believing God. It was by faith that Abraham was made righteous. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, the only way to be made righteous is through faith. But notice this, catch this, God imputed it to his account. What does that mean? God put it on his account. God put it on his account. God said, "All right, Abraham, you believe me? There it is. There it is." You remember AOL years ago when an email would hit, it'd say, "You've got mail. You've got mail. You've got mail." It's when we by faith lay hold of the promises of God. It's God imputing it to our account. And God saying, "There it is. It's in your account. It's in your account. It's yours right now." Amen. I would to God somebody this morning, whether it's a child coming back home, a miracle in your life, or God doing something
in your marriage, lay hold of the promise of God today. And God said, I'm putting it in your account. Amen. From the front to the back. Let's worship God. Amen. Let's magnify the name of our God. Oh, let's love Him right now. Ah, what He said is what He'll do. Ah, what He said is what He'll do. Glory, glory. Anybody on my right side want faith in your life? Anybody in this middle section need faith in your life? What about this left side this morning? One more time, I want you to lay hold of the promise of God. Come on, let's stretch our hands toward heaven. Let's believe God. Oh, God, we need you right now by faith. Oh, somebody, by faith, by faith, by faith. God is able. I said, God is able. God is able. God is able. God is able. Oh, God is able. Glory, glory, glory.
I'm standing on His promises. I believe what His word says. I'm standing on His promises.
By faith.
I believe what His word says. I have faith. God will do just what He said. I am standing on the promises of God.
Oh, I am standing
on His promises.
Praise the Lord.
I believe what His word says. I am standing on His promises.
Come on, church.
I believe what